Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and really appreciate our worship team, guys. Thank you for leading us this morning. And what April was saying right there is so important for us, that when we're connected ourselves with Jesus, then our relationships with other people can be right. And I'm excited for our sermon today because I think we at Maywood have an easy time with a truth that a lot of people have a hard time with. And that's that really great things or really great people can be where you least expect them, right? The people that 95% of the world would overlook can do incredible things, can be incredible. And I think here at Maywood, we see that so often, that people that other people would think don't belong or shouldn't listen to, we see God work powerfully through, and we see that the overlooked can sometimes be where God is most active. And so because I think we as a church have an easy time with that truth, I'm excited for our passage today because honestly, it's probably the most overlooked passage in all of Ephesians. We have been in the book of Ephesians. I think we started it the very first week we started doing church at home, like way back in March, whenever that was. I think it was right at the start of this whole crazy pandemic thing. So we've been in Ephesians for a long time. We took some breaks there for Christmas and some different things. But we've been going verse by verse through Ephesians. And so we get to the very end of the book, and we're at this spot that I think probably more than any other verses, people look over when they're reading it. They just kind of glance at that. And I don't know that anybody really preaches on it, to be honest. So you're up for something different today at Maywood. So as we go to this, I believe it is divinely inspired and useful to teach and equip us, right? So we need to come with that belief as we come to these verses, not just overlook them, but say, there's something for me that God can teach me. That's what our heart needs to be. And so let's go to our first verse. We're going to skip that slide with the two boys, if Bryce, but we'll go to our first verse. So this is Ephesians 6, verse 21 through 24, the very end of the book of Ephesians. So verse 21, Tychius, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so they may also know how I am and what I am doing. Now to catch you up where we're at, if you haven't been here recently, the whole book of Ephesians has all this giant stuff in it. This idea is that we're saved by God's grace alone. We don't earn a connection with God. We don't earn salvation. But that God saved us just by his grace, by loving us. And then he made us to do good things. That's in Ephesians. We have these very powerful prayers about uniting and understanding God's love. We have these awesome descriptions of how Jesus fills everything in every way and how the church is supposed to be his fullness when we use our gifts together. We have a lot of instruction about how to live right and act right, to not lie to each other, to be forgiving to each other. We have this stuff about the armor of God, stuff about praying and being bold that Brian shared so well last week. But right here at the end, you get this very practical piece of like Paul has to get this letter to the church. And so he gives this scroll to this guy who I butchered his name probably. But he picked him to go on this long journey and deliver this because this guy is a bridge between Paul and that church. He's somebody that can connect to them, somebody who really knows Paul. And Paul knows that this church really wants to hear about Paul. It shows that there's a real connection. And I think it's easy to just assume, well, this is Paul talking. Of course, people are going to listen to him. But the reason this church is so open to these big things from Paul, I believe, is because Paul has built a real relationship. And if you think to your own life, who has impacted you? What person impacted you to a great way? Who said something to you that changed how you lived, even if it was for good or for bad. Probably there was a significant relationship there. Because we've all heard some like smart things or smart advice from a million different places, but the things that changed us typically came from people that we knew cared about us. Mike Hempel lost a friend, and maybe several others in the room too, or downstairs and on Facebook and everywhere, but a lady that he knew through Trace Diaz, and she was always talking about that people didn't care what you had to say until you had listened to them. Until they felt like you had listened to them, they didn't really want to hear what you had to say. She was getting at this truth there that like until you've built a relationship, you can't really help somebody at the same sort of level at least, okay? And so what we see here, the example from Paul, is that Paul took somebody that he was really connected with and that he trusted, and he sent him away just to help that relationship with the church stay strong. Paul struggles with, you know, being in prison, being separated from a lot of people a lot of times. So to send somebody that he's close to, that he trusts, away, it's not an easy thing to do. But he does it to say, I want to keep this relationship with that church close. Even though I can't go, I want to build that connection. And for us here today, I want to mention something from the big book from AA, but then I want to talk to you about how AA is onto a truth that I think we as Christians can take even further, okay? So you probably don't have a big book with you this morning. Maybe you do. If you do, it's going to be on page 124. And here, talking about this idea of sharing in a meeting your biggest mistakes and why that can be helpful. So here's what it says. It says, each member should be only too willing to bring former mistakes, no matter how grievous, out of their hiding places. Showing others who suffer how we were given help in this very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. So what they're getting at there is you can share this horrible past that you've had as a source of light to somebody. In God's hands, even evil things from your past can help somebody else out of the muck and the mire. So what AA is onto is we should help people beside us even with our own junk, right? Now, here's where I would say that Christianity wants to take us to something even sweeter or even beyond that. Of an AA meeting where they're trying to reach people at, it's so hard to bring those sorts of things to light that they really practice helping people stay anonymous. But within Christianity, what we've seen in the book of Ephesians is that we're to be children of the light. And that the power that can come from being open and being real can also, with Jesus' help, be in a place where you're fully known, where people do know your name, and where they love and accept you, where God gets involved in people really knowing you and you really knowing other people. So Paul in Ephesians didn't get into a lot of his own personal life, but in his other stories, he'll get into things and his own weaknesses and his own struggles because he wants any way possible to bridge that gap to people and bring them to Jesus. And so I want to show you an image here. It's of an onion, and it's a communication theory that I learned back when I was in school. I don't even remember the name of the theory, sorry for that, but I remember this analogy for it. And it's a description of how human relationships work. It's called the onion theory by some people. And basically, they say that people are like onions, you know, there's lots of layers to a person. But they say for a relationship to get closer, there's a direct correlation to how much they have self-disclosed to each other. How much have they opened up to each other? Because every time they pull back a layer, there will be a new level of intimacy. You'll get closer. So what you find is when you share something deep or dark from your past with somebody, you wind up closer to that person. They feel more comfortable sharing their stuff, and you get closer. That's a level or a layer. You have a whole bunch of layers with people, but I think it's easy to come to church or to be on Facebook or to be down in the youth chapel or down in the fellowship hall and to just show one layer at church. Just the, I'm doing okay, you know my name, I'm happy, life's pretty good, I'm just busy or something. You know, like the very like surface, right? But what would happen if you started to pull back those layers and you started to come to a small group on Wednesday nights, or you started to be more honest when people asked you questions, and you started to pull those layers back? So what could some of those layers be? Well, have you prayed one-on-one with anybody else in this room recently? Because that would be a layer. If you're talking to somebody today and before you leave, or even if you're on Facebook and you throw out a prayer request, you will feel more connected if you pray with each other. And if you pray with each other once, it'll be a lot easier to pray with each other a second time and to pray with each other maybe even every time you see each other. And suddenly you'll find it's easier to talk about other things too, right? Because you've taken that step. You've pulled a layer off. So lots of different layers we could get into, but just some practical tips on that. Before you leave church today, wherever you're at, pray with somebody else that you don't normally pray with. Go up to them, share something that you need help with, ask them to pray for you about it. You will be closer to that person than you were before that conversation. And the reality is, just like April was talking about and like what Paul is exhibiting, if you're close to Jesus and you're close to someone else, then you can be a conduit for God. You can connect to somebody if you have those two things going. If you have a good relationship with Jesus and a good relationship with someone else, God can flow through that. But you have to do a little bit of work, right? We're going to read this next verse here. Verse 22, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. So Paul was very purposeful. The purpose wasn't to get this letter to you, and that was it. It wasn't just like putting a stamp on it, saying I'm sending this guy with a purpose so that you could know us better and that he could encourage you. So the whole time, I mean, the way that letter of Ephesians would have gotten read the first time is the whole church would have gotten together and they would have read the book we think of as book. They would have read the letter together. But it probably would have come right after Tychius is telling them all that's happening with Paul, right? They're feeling this warmth of connection with him and then they hear all these words. So I want to throw out something else to you about this idea of making a purposeful effort. I've got this image here of a bottle of Mexican Coke, like Coke from Mexico. When I was living in Mexico, there were little tiny stores all over the place, a little neighborhood I was in, and people would walk most places. A lot of people didn't have cars. And a bottle of Coke cost, I can't remember how much. I think it was like, I think a big one was 5 pesos and a little one was 3 pesos. So it was like 20 cents, 35 cents, something like that, for this big glass bottle of Coke. And it's super hot down in Mexico. It'd get up to 110 in the town I was living in. And people drink all sorts of things, I guess, but people drink a lot of Coke. And for me, when I was walking with somebody, if I wanted to just have a short conversation, I'd just walk next to them for a minute at their house. But if I wanted to have a 10 or 20 minute conversation, like deeper, I would ask them, like, hey, do you want to get a Coke? And we'd walk down to the little store, get a bottle of Coke, and then you'd sit there on a cinder block because they were, like, all over the place, and you'd drink. And there were lime trees around, so you'd probably grab a lime and squeeze it in your Coke, and then you'd sit there for 20 minutes, and you'd have a much deeper connection. All maybe I've made you guys want Coke. That's not my purpose because it's not as good here. But the Coke is pretty terrible for you, honestly. Like, it just is, like, horrible for you, your body. And the whole purpose of the Coke, though, was to have a longer conversation. Like, it was facilitate a real connection. Right? For you, you probably can't walk around and run into people and have a longer talk by getting a glass bottle of Coke this afternoon. But I bet Paul was purposeful to encourage this church and to make a relational connection. If we want to follow Paul's example, you could be purposeful to encourage somebody this week and to make a relational connection with somebody. I know we got to work a little harder on these verses than some of our other verses. Like, it doesn't just reach out and like grab your collar and tell you this is what you're supposed to do. But following Paul's example is a good place to be. And if Paul was thoughtful, how do I encourage this group of Christians? We should be thoughtful. How do we encourage somebody this week? How do we make space for connection? So it can be really simple. It could be, instead of texting somebody, you call them and talk to them, right? Because a text is such a super small thing, right? You can't hang much relationship on a text, right? It's a really small platform. A phone call has a lot more to it, right? When we text, a lot of times what we're saying is, I need this thing from you and I want to check the box, right? It's a very, very small transactional type of way to talk to each other. But especially if you meet somebody face-to-face, but even a phone call, it ups it, right? To like, there's space to ask about how their day is. There's space to find out something else is going on in their life. There's space to pray together. Like, there's space. Now, I'm not saying you can't text anybody all week long, but what if at some point this week you said, no, I'm not going to text that person. I'm going to call them because I want to connect with them. And I'm going to use this little moment like a Coke bottle, like, oh yeah, I do need to figure out what time we're getting together, or who's bringing the 20-foot ladder or whatever. But I'm going to use this moment to also make a connection with them. Right? I mean, you can really up the ante and start writing cards to people and encouraging them. If you start saying, Jesus, show me someone to encourage today, Jesus will put someone on your heart. The Holy Spirit is all about encouraging other Christians. Like, if you want to be a vessel for the Holy Spirit this week, tell him, show me someone to encourage. He will put somebody on your heart, right? So, final thing I want us to do today, we're going to end a little early because I do want to give you guys space to pray for each other. So, before I end our kind of official time up here, let me explain how that'll work. If you're down in the fellowship hall or the youth chapel or you're in this room, just before you leave the room, talk to somebody that you don't regularly pray with and just ask them, how could I pray for you for something? And then share something yourself. And I'll give you a little tip. Like, what you share, whoever the first person to share is, that will set the tone for what gets shared by the second person. If you say, oh, you know, pray I have a good time, or, you know, a good week at work, that's pretty vague, pretty superficial. Like, that's what will get given back. But if you say, man, my wife and I had an argument last night, and I was really prideful, pray that I am calm when I get home. You know, like, if you say that, you will probably hear a different sort of prayer request from the other person, right? Because you've been vulnerable. You've been courageous. You've made a real step. Here's the awesome thing about that moment that we share too, is it's not just two people trying to help each other. As Christians, when we get together and start opening up and then we ask for Jesus's help, it's a whole different thing. You guys were here when Heather Gloria and Heather B gave those testimonies. That's an example of why it's different to be a Christian than it's just being in some other group, right? It's that God himself is actually involved when we start praying together. Jesus promises to even be present in a special way when we pray together. So we're not just saying, let's make each other feel better. We're saying, let's be open so we can go to God, our Father, together. So we're going to do that before we leave. If you're on Facebook, it's a little trickier in a way, but you guys can make it work, I think. So if you're on Facebook, I would say you can write comments right now. Just start throwing out comments, and then team, you know, you can reply to those threads. Just start conversations in the replies, and feel free to team up with more than one person, but start praying for each other, okay? Final thing I'm going to do for us is I'm going to pray this closing blessing out of Ephesians over all of us. And it's awesome to get to pray God's word for all of us. We need it. And we finish the book of Ephesians today, but it would be a great question for you to think on today. What does God want me to hold on to from Ephesians? It's been months of talking about it, but it would be wonderful if today you took some time with God and said, God, what do you want me to hold on to? What do you want me to keep doing from Ephesians? So, Bryce, if you could put those up on the slide, these verses as I read them. So this is Ephesians 6, 23 through 24. If you guys, wherever you're at, if you'll bow your heads. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.